You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock Saturday morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. That means it's time to talk landscape and gardening. This 8 o'clock hour, we've changed it a little bit over the years. The first Saturday of the month, we bring in the Arizona Farm Bureau and talk about what is currently being harvested in Arizona and the ag industry here. Second Saturday of the month, we bring in John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist, talking trees. Third Saturday of the month, John Harper joins us talking all things gardening, growing, landscaping. Third Saturday of the month, we bring in urban farmer Greg Peterson to talk about urban farm. And occasionally, if you're looking at your home maintenance calendar that you can get by sending the address you would like it mailed to info@rosieonthehouse.com, we'll send you a complimentary home maintenance calendar. You're looking and you see March 30th, but there's nothing on the landscape and garden to do. A couple times a year, we get this magic fifth Saturday of the month that we kind of use for our wild card Saturday. We bring in different specialists, different aspects, different perspectives that relate to landscape, gardening, growing. And this week, I was trying to decide what topic should we cover this week. And I thought, you know, with the everything water going on and the legislation and the Colorado River Drought Contingency Plan, all the rain we've got, we're coming into our hot months where we use a lot of our water. I thought it would be a good time to talk proper irrigation because we can waste a lot of water if we're not irrigating properly. So you know what that means.
Spoiling this calls for the old Billy Baru. Oh. Billy. This is a biggie,
Bill Jenkins.
I love that. Talk about setting me at ease. Thank you, Romy.
Time for the old Billy Baru, Bill
Good
Jenkins.
Good morning.
And you want to talk Arizona history. Your father gave Rosie his first job digging
that
sprinklers, ditches on Camelback
he
Mountain.
Tells the story. That's true. That's a sweet story. we are blessed to have a long relationship with your family, and we cherish that. Thank you very much.
And been in a second-generation irrigation specialist now?
Oh, that's true. My dad was doing this for a long time, and I grew up around it. I drove around in his Ford pickup with him, and he called me a gopher. He said, go for this, go for that. Oh, yeah.
I gave Dad a Father's Day gift one time. It was to the man who taught me everything about hand tools. And you open it up, and it says, hand me that tool. Good. Now go stand over there.
Yeah, that's true. I did learn a lot. And I have my own ways. I was kind of a technical guy, so I kind of developed my own methods. But I was an irrigation technician for many, many years. I drove around in a little Toyota truck, actually, and I think I spent my life in Arcadia going and repairing irrigation systems. So learned a lot in the field. A lot of times I had to admit I didn't know what I was running into, but a lot of on-the-job training when I was a young man.
And when we're looking at irrigating, we're obviously in a very dry climate. We've got most of our water comes from municipalities, which comes from a lot of different ground pumping.
Pulling water out of the ground.
Obviously, Salt River Project, if you're on an irrigated landscape there, which are fabulous
It's a precious
properties.
Resource. All right. One of my pet peeves is how much we waste water. If I had a nickel for every time I saw people overwatering in the wintertime, I'd have a really big pile of nickels.
Or all of the irrigation systems that water the sidewalk and the driveway, like this apartment complex you pass pulling into the station. If I had a nickel every time I drove in and their sprinklers watering their concrete.
But at the same time, you can also, there's cutting with chainsaws and then there's pruning with pruners. And this would be maybe a topic we can't cover on the radio, but you can be obsessed over little things, but it's the big things that really matter. Spray systems for irrigation systems are going to get little adjacent hardscapes wet, and certainly that can be a necessary evil. But we really want to focus on the big water wasters, and that's a really bad design, and that's really using the systems ineffectively. And that's where most of the water occurs at the irrigation time clock. just using the systems improperly. Watering every day in January is just not required. That's the issue, is people just not using the irrigation system correctly.
And designing a proper irrigation system, you've got the water coming in from the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of the – there's the using the system correctly, and then there's designing a system correctly. And one of the things, if you don't – if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you want to be involved in doing it yourself, you obviously – if you don't want to go the route of hiring a professional, you don't want to bring in an irrigation professional to do the job for you, which is certainly what I would recommend. Of course, I'm in the business. Then you have some tools at your disposal, and obviously just going to your local home outlet store and buying a bunch of parts and going out and assembling something is not necessarily the best thing to do. You can get some professional guidance, and in many cases it's free. One of my favorite companies, Rainbird, they sell parts even online,
and
major manufacturer.
Some of their manufacturing is in Tucson, is it not?
They do make them here in Arizona, that's correct. They have a website, rainbird.com. I don't get a commission. And they actually will do free design for homeowners. You can look it up online. I don't work for them. But you can actually, with a little bit of information they require, you can actually send information to them, and they'll send you, in I think it's something like 10 days or something, they'll send you a little design which will actually help you with the layout of your irrigation system. So there's a lot of online resources. And, of course, with the advent of YouTube and with the advent of all the online resources nowadays, there's really no excuse for not finding quite a bit of information online and having a lot of guidance, where in the old days, of course, we didn't have that.
And there's things to take in consideration. The water pressure delivered to your home,
mm-hmm.
how many gallons per minute you can have, that's
mm-hmm.
plays in big if you've got a robust.
But you see, those things are often beyond the homeowner. That's something, you know, I might, as a professional, I should know how many gallons of water a minute I can draw through a certain size pipe. If I don't know that, I'm in the wrong business. But does the average homeowner know what's the maximum velocity in a certain size pipe on in a given situation? You know, that's the study of hydraulics, and that's for a professional to know. That's where getting a little bit of guidance or going to a professional, that's where that really pays off. There are some little things over the years that I have run into that are just good guidelines. And one of the things that I've run into, when you have your average single family home, and there's a lot of generalities here, a lot of common situations, a lot of folks will go to the back hose bib when you're putting a system in a backyard. And they'll tie into that little itty-bitty tiny pipe at the back hose bib and then put in this really nice big lawn area in the backyard. And they'll use that as the water source for that back
lawn
system. One
of those sprinklers that swings back and forth and you got to go out and move.
Well, sure, and that may be for the hose that feeds that. And if they're using a hose and using that kind of sprinkler, well, that's fine. That's just a little hose-operated sprinkler. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about the person, the weekend warrior, that might go to the home outlet store and buy some pipe and buy some valves and go and actually attach to that little tiny half-inch pipe. That's not the best place to get water for a sprinkler system. You need to go get a larger pipe on the property. You need to go find a larger piece of pipe, a 3/4 or a 1-inch piece of pipe, if you can, a larger source of water. That's usually more in the front yard. Most properties, and again, this varies throughout the entire valley, but you've got to go closer to the water meter. You just said, you know, it comes in from the water meter. You got to get closer to the water meter to get to a larger piece of pipe, not that little tiny hose bib that's that labyrinth of pipe that comes through the house and goes through the kitchen and that through all the plumbing walls and through the laundry room. And you know, you imagine that spaghetti of all the piping going through the house, and it finally shows up at that back hose bib. That's not the best source of water. So that's just one little, you know, pitfall, one little guideline that I can share, just a little nugget of information.
And then for the first thing we have to install when we're teeing off, we've got the water line that goes into the house, and there's usually a pressure regulator there.
Mm-hmm.
We tee off to the irrigation.
Backflow prevention. Right. I knew you were leading up to that. Whenever you tie into a what we call potable water system or drinking water, you need to separate the irrigation water from the drinking water. And almost all plumbing codes require that separation. And in many residential situations, they'll require what's called a pressure-type vacuum breaker, and we call them PVBs for short. And yes, and of course, we're getting into plumbing code here, but just know that there is a device called a backflow preventer that's required. And if you ever have somebody putting a system in for you or you know, a professional that says that's not required, that's a red flag. That's something that you're going to want to look into a little bit harder. And if you are a do-it-yourselfer, you know, that's not a cost you want to skip. It's important. You don't want to be drinking water that's contaminated with the cross connection, they call it, or you know, water that's been in the wrong places.
And you think, well, how could I get a backflow into my water system from a outgoing line? Mm-hmm. But you leave a hose connected, siphoning it. Water's a very opportunistic beast.
Again, go to the internet and look up cross connection, and you can look up some scary stories about situations where people have had cross connection and all kinds of scary stories about people getting sick or other situations where things got into the drinking water supply from even industrial sources and other places where people got sick and contaminated water and even some really scary industrial situations. Yeah, it's a real thing.
So we got our backflow prevention valve installed. Next comes our control manifold, and we'll talk about selecting the right type of irrigation control here at Rosie on the House. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions are 411-923, or you can send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Here with you every Saturday morning, joined Bill Jenkins of Think Green Design Irrigation.
Design Build Landscape.
It's
a mouthful.
It's been a developing name over the years. It was Think Green Irrigation at first, and Think Green Landscape. Now it's Think Green Design Build Landscape. Design Build Landscape. Well, thanks for spending Saturday morning with us. If you've got a weed problem, we've got weeds everywhere. If you live in an HOA, I'm sure you're aware of it. They love to come around and leave nice little love letters for you on your weed situation. Well, you don't have to call in the big guns. You can just burn it out with a product that's both people and pet safe. That's right. Bonide's Burn Out Weed and Grass Killer can be applied to just any type of weed, whether it's on your sidewalks, patios. You can even apply it to the base of mature trees around buildings. If you've got flower bed or vegetable garden you're trying to plant, you can clean it out with Burn Out. Can be used any place, and it's not it's rainproof, so it's not something that'll translocate with sprinklers or rain. You can find Burn Out at any one of the all over the state, including Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, Summer Winds in Phoenix on Tatum Boulevard, or Treeland Nursery in Mesa. If you've got a weed problem, just burn it out.